streaming 24/7.
Oh my God, it's better than I thought.
This is Radio Influence.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. This is going to be kind of a somber show because as a Buccaneer fan, and I've been a Buccaneer fan since 1990 when I joined the team, this is probably as low as I felt. We've been worse, but we've been bad when the expectations weren't very high. 2 years in a row, we started this football season thinking that we had a contender, thinking that we had the right quarterback, thinking that we had the most weapons that we've ever had. And that might be the case. I don't know. But to score 3 points against the Washington Redskins at home and with a depleted Redskins team is just not good enough. That's it. I don't know what needs to happen. But there's only one thing you have to do now is start over, okay? Whatever Dirk Koetter and Jason Light have tried to create to this point is just not working, period. It's time for change. I don't know if you change it now, but I got some news for you. Better sooner than later, because they're falling off real quick. And when you're hearing, coaches in front of the locker room after the game, you're 3-6, and this is DeMar Dotson says, "Coach said I don't have the answer. If I did, we'd do it." My biggest problem with this team, and I've said this before, even before the season started, is I'm not sure we have people in place to really understand and know what it looks like, and it means a winning, franchise. They don't know what entails a winner. I mean, Monty Kiffin knew, Rich McKay knew, Tony Dungy knew, Rod Marinelli knew, Lovie Smith knew. All those guys knew. I don't know anybody on our staff, top to bottom, head coach to the smallest coach, from GM, it doesn't matter. I don't think anybody knows what it looks like. And it just looks like we're grabbing a bunch of pieces and trying to put it together to build something. We're at a point now where with our quarterback situation, and we always have to talk about the quarterback situation because it's the most important position in all sports, it doesn't make sense to put Ryan Fitzpatrick back out there. It doesn't make sense. He's not going to be our quarterback next year, period. Jameis still has a chance to be our quarterback. It's still a possibility. Somebody may come in here and say, "I can make that kid good." That's a possibility. Ryan Fitzpatrick won't be our quarterback next year. He might be our backup, but you can't start the year with Ryan Fitzpatrick as your quarterback. You can't. So what are we doing putting him out there? We're 3-6. I get it 2 weeks ago, okay? When you're 3-4 and there's still a little chance you're going to make the playoffs because we played two teams in a row where we could have beaten, I guess. We didn't. But with 3-6 and they're out of the playoffs, why are you going to put a 35-year-old quarterback out there that's not going to be your quarterback next year? It doesn't make any sense. Now the Glazers are going to take this over, and they're going to put, I believe they put Jameis back in. It just makes sense. It just makes sense to put your young quarterback out there. You can't score 3 points at home, okay? You can't. Not putting it all on Ryan Fitzpatrick, although Ryan Fitzpatrick did not play well. 480 yards of offense and 3 points. I've never seen that in all the years of football. Never seen that. You might not ever see that again. That is absolutely crazy. And defensively, I don't see no dogs out there, man. I don't see any dogs out there. JPP was kind of silent yesterday. I think Gerald McCoy had one sack, but there was three backup linemen on the Redskins team. Three. You got to eat that freaking line up. You have to. Back in the day when the Bucs were, the shit defensively, they'd have ate that team up. Guaranteed. We don't have an identity. We have absolutely no identity whatsoever. And, when you talk about great football players, I think we have some good football players, but I think they need some guidance. They really do. I don't think they can. They obviously can't figure it out, okay? I see people out of position. I see people in the wrong gaps. I see blocking schemes that don't make any sense. And it's past halfway of the season now. And when you see the team come out and Ryan Fitzpatrick, the first interception that he threw was almost like the first interception he threw the week before. First drive, driving down the field, got some adrenaline, sore ball, interception. Can't do it. Jameis did it too. Jameis has been doing it his whole career as well. But Ryan Fitzpatrick threw two picks that were just terrible, terrible picks. Terrible. Is he a competitor? Yeah. Can you win a championship with him? Nope. Nope. Did he play three great games? Yep. Should he be our quarterback right now? Nope. Not anymore. He deserved to be it 2 weeks ago. Not anymore. And I'm looking at some of these so-called stars that we have. I've talked about Gerald McCoy till I'm blue in the face. I can't do it no more. You're not a star. You're not even really a good football player. I see you get pushed around a lot. Vita Vey is a 350-pound slug. I saw him getting dumped by one guy. You're 350 pounds. You're getting dumped by one guy? Like, 350 pounds, I'm picturing Vince Wilfork and Haloti Ngata. Not that dude. That dude is soft, okay? Warren Sapp warned us, and he was 110% right. It's not working. And he's getting ragdolled out there. You can get blocked. That happened. But for a 350-pounder to get ragdolled, that should not happen. You're going to make some rookie mistakes, but I'm not even seeing any flash plays. I don't think I saw a tackle that he made yesterday. I don't think. Some of our star players aren't playing like stars. Ali Marpet had a tough game yesterday on the offensive line. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes you come up against somebody who gives you issues, but you want to believe Ali Marpet, you're in good hands there. Donovan Smith, you know, just does his bonehead stuff every single week. Cameron Brate, now he's a guy who's on the side of the stadium. What the hell has Cameron Brate done this year? He dropped a pass early in the game on a drive that was really crucial. What the hell has Cameron Brate done this year? You're on the side of the stadium. You're a backup tight end that's on the side of the stadium, and you got, man, I don't even know if he has a dozen catches this year. It's a bad look. Dirk Koetter came out and admitted that he called the plays yesterday. That's a sign that when you're changing stuff, like the offense wasn't a problem, was it? We were scoring a whole lot of points. He's trying to go out on his own terms, I guess. I mean, if you're going to get fired, you might as well be calling the plays. Might as well. But there was no rhyme or reason to anything we were doing yesterday. Every offseason, we have to hear about the Buccaneers trying to establish a running game, blah, blah, blah. They never try to run the football. I had somebody that gave me an email. If you ever want to email me, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. Somebody was asking me, the numbers aren't great. I know he's just a guy, but I feel like Peyton Barber runs hard and he gets 2 yards when he really should be getting minus 2 yards. You're right. Peyton Barber on a 2 yard run, normally he should get a minus 2 yards. If Peyton Barber had a good offensive line, Peyton Barber would be a legitimate running back, period. He would be a legitimate running back. Legitimate running backs have to do with their offensive lines. Our offensive line is just not really great running the football. They're not great run blockers. They're just not. They're not terrible pass blockers, but they're certainly not good run blockers. Going back to these so-called stars, Mike Evans, 2 weeks in a row. What? I mean, it just doesn't look right, okay? DeSean Jackson, you just look like a guy. These guys just look like guys. And these guys should be making a whole lot more plays than they are right now. And when you're seeing every week, it seems like somebody else surfaces as the go-to guy. Yesterday, Godwin had a bunch of targets and got a bunch of catches, but you're not going to win games that way. You're not going to win games that way. And there's just no consistency in anything we do on either side of the football. I mean, absolutely no consistency. We have, and I looked this up, I was on the show this morning with Slater on 102.5 The Bone, and Slater says, do we have an interception yet this year? And I was like, I don't remember. Let me go. I go, we got to have a half dozen. So I go back and I look. One interception this year. And I think six fumbles or five fumbles. So in all, six turnovers. Okay. We've thrown 19 interceptions. 19-1. Everybody's like, well, if our kicker makes a kick, we would be 7. Bullshit. We ain't going to be nothing. We have the worst defense in the league. We can't make a kick. We can't rush the passer. We don't run the football. That is not an equation to be a good football team. In any league, I don't give a crap. That's not a good equation. And Dirk Koetter just doesn't know what he's doing anymore. He does. He's lost the team. He's lost the locker room. And I don't know where he goes from here other than an out. If he goes, Jason Light's going to have to go, and they're all going to have to go at the same time. But when you're looking at this team, find us a kicker, for God's sakes. Find us a kicker that can make a 30-yard field goal. How hard is that? Martin Gramatica can come out of, you know, retirement and kick a field goal, I would think. And when you're looking at this game, and Jacquizz Rodgers was our leading receiver with 8 targets, and when you're seeing, you know, Mike Evans with 6 targets and 3 receptions, and when you're seeing O.J. Howard with 2 targets and 1 reception, that's getting out-coached. Those are 2 really good football players. And there's no reason for O.J. Howard to have 2 targets and 1 catch. There's absolutely no reason for that. So where do they go from here? This is bad. It's a bad look. And everybody was like, didn't you think they were going to win that game? Well, I thought they were going to win the game so much that I put money on the Redskins. How about that? I put money on the Redskins knowing very well that this Buccaneer team, it's flawed. To have 29 first downs, to be 6-for-10 on third down conversions, and have 3 points, there's a flaw somewhere. I don't know where it is. 501 net yards. These are crazy, crazy numbers that just don't. If you looked at these numbers, you'd go, oh, the Bucs had to have scored 40 points. Nope. Go about a red zone efficiency. 0-for-5. 0-for-5. The Bucs absolutely suck in the red zone on both sides of the ball. They suck. Because that comes down to want to and grit, and they don't have none of it. And I had somebody else email me here on the Pizza Lover, and he was basically talking about Gerald McCoy. And after the game, Gerald McCoy was, you know, laughing and hugging up some other players. I'm going to say this. That doesn't bother me after the game. What does bother me is at the end of the game, when you're getting your asses kicked, and I'm watching Gerald McCoy and some of these other guys just going through the motion and just looking like they don't want to get hurt, that bothers me. Once the game's over, game's over. But during the game, let's see a little pissed off. Let's get a little pissed off during the game. Forget about getting pissed off after the game. During the game, let's get pissed off and get something done. But I'm not seeing any dog from any part of our defense anywhere. I'm not. Who are we waiting for to make plays? JPP can't do it himself at a defensive end. He can't do it himself. Lavonte David gets in this verbal battle with Warren Sapp on Twitter, him and Quan Alexander. Hey, Lavonte, you're talking to a Hall of Famer. You might want to listen to what he says. Maybe Warren, who knows what it looks like, maybe you should listen to him a little bit. Like if Leroy Selman or Anthony Munoz or somebody like that told me something about my game, I would listen. Former Hall of Famers. If Warren Sapp's telling you something, don't get butt hurt. Listen. Because Lavonte David's another name that we keep on hearing it and greatness, and it's never led to anything. He's kind of in the same boat as Gerald McCoy. You get some statistics, but what has the statistics led to? And there's a whole lot of people just basically reading their press clippings, and that's it. And when your coach stands in front of the team and just goes, I don't know what to do, then it's over. It's absolutely over. Because a lot of guys in that locker room have been on winners. Not a lot. I asked a question yesterday while we're watching the game. How many winners do we have on the field? And then the answer was JPP. And that was it. Even DeSean Jackson, he's been on some winners, but he's always been that belly acher. And I'm not a big fan of belly aching. I'm really not. So my thing is, where do we go from here? Where is there to go? This team falls anymore. There ain't nowhere to go. because they started off 2-0. Remember? I remember. They started off 2-0 and have gone 1-6 since. We are once again one of the worst teams in football. At the end of last year, we weren't doing nothing. At the beginning of this year, we started off like gangbusters, 2-0. We're ready to go. Fitzmagic, 3 points? That ain't magical. It's not magical. We're going to see Jameis again. It's going to be this week. It has to be. Don't know who's going to be our coach. Don't know who's going to be our GM, but Jameis needs to be the quarterback. It just makes sense. Not because he's better than Ryan Fitzpatrick, just because it makes sense. That's it. Do we play better under Ryan Fitzpatrick? It's been up and down. It's been up and down. Statistically, he's been better, but when he's the man, and I said this last week, it's not like you're the backup and you're going in there just to hold it down. You're the man now. When you're the man, there's a lot more pressure on you, and when he's been the man, he's played like he's been under a lot of pressure. He's still fighting. He's still hustling, but making too many damn mistakes out there. And we got out-coached grossly for 2 weeks straight. We got grossly out-coached 2 weeks straight, period. When it's time to make a play, our defense doesn't do anything. Offensively, we haven't done anything really efficient all year, although we scored a lot of points. We're still going to be the number... Somebody watched some football yesterday, said, we have the number one offense in the league. I said, no. We have an offense that gets the most yards. Number one offense in the league scores the most points, not gets the most yards. They're in some empty, come-from-behind, crappy yards. Nobody wants that. So get ready. Get ready. It's going to get bumpy from here on out, because when they put Jameis back in, now you have a disgruntled athlete who you just pulled the plug on. He's a guy again. Then we have DeSean Jackson, who's going to be bitching and moaning, and that locker room is going to be done. And when you hear DeMar Dotson, who is, you know, one of the team leaders, I think he's been here the longest, when I hear him say that the coach just doesn't understand what's going on, if he doesn't get it, why are you coming back? If you don't know how to fix it, why are you up there trying to fix it? If you don't know how to fix it, the best coaches know how to fix it. They always do. And you got to be heading towards something. This Bucs team's not heading towards anything. And we're really not. When I'm looking at other teams, I'm just seeing so much more fight. I'm just not seeing any fight with the Buccaneers. If you fight, you don't have to be that talented. If you fight. And the Buccaneers, to me, don't have a bunch of fighters. There's a couple fighters out there. I see a couple of guys still scrapping. But we don't have scrappers from up and down the football team at all. When they keep on showing replays of, you know, Buccaneers of past, and with John Lynch making plays and Rondé Barber and Simeon Rice and all those guys, man, I miss those days because I knew exactly what we were putting on the field. And I don't know what the Buccaneers are putting on the field anymore. And it's getting really tiresome to watch. It's boring to watch, and it's just old. When the Bucs were down 6-3, I don't think anybody thought they were going to win that game. I didn't. I mean, I just don't think they're going to score. And they didn't. I don't think they thought they were going to score. And I think that's where the problem lies. This team is just not a confident bunch. I'm not watching confident routes by the wide receivers. I'm just not. So it's about to get ugly, people. If you're a Buccaneer fan, I think you want them to, quote-unquote, throw a bomb on one Buck place. You shouldn't say bombs because it's a very violent time we're living in. But we get to start over. Let's clean the slate. Time to clean the slate and try something new. Bring somebody in here. Hire a Derek Brooks to have a good look for the franchise. Bring in a GM that knows what the hell he's doing. A Bill Polian type guy, old school dude, knows how to build a team and go from there. Because if you really think about it, all the Bucs have done in the last, seems like 10 years or so, is really just do things that they were supposed to do. If you remember Raheem Morris, if you remember how Raheem Morris got his job, Raheem was named the defensive coordinator, and then since he was going to get some head coaching tryouts some other places, then the Bucs made him the head coach. That's not your first choice, obviously. And then they signed Dirk Cutter because they were scared of losing a relationship with Jameis Winston, who's on the bench. So that's not a first choice either. And it's not working out, period. It's awful to watch. It's a terrible project. The whole thing, the project is done. And I don't know where they go from here. But I'm tired of watching the same terrible concert over and over. And it's a terrible, terrible concert. If anybody wants to ever get in contact with me and bitch and moan like I've been doing here for the last little while, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. If you want to hit me up on social media, it's @ianbeckles. Please, I'm pretty active on that. We also opened up Flavor of Tampa Bay here on Gandy and West Shore. We have a food truck now. It's going to be serving some wonderful food, burgers, hot dogs, and some different barbecue. So come check us out. But I appreciate you guys listening every week. There's been pretty darn good numbers here with in the trenches, because I know it's just a good time for me to vent and talk a little football, and I enjoy doing that. But I'm pretty damn frustrated. I'm frustrated as a Buccaneer fan. I know you're frustrated as well. Anyways, let's hope the Buccaneers figure out a way to get a win. I don't see them beating anybody else the rest of this year. I don't know. Maybe if they make some changes. Other than that, I think the whole thing's a wash and we start talking about draft picks. Have a wonderful week, and try not to think about the game too much. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
This is an Ian Beckles Flavor in Your Ear quick fix on Radio Influence.
I said months ago that we are ready for a civil war. I want everybody to listen closely. I'm not sure we're not in the midst of one right now, okay? Just look around. There's stuff happening that has never happened in politics before. I've never been so involved with politics, and I'm happy I wasn't, and because it's scary. When you have our president firing somebody and appointing another person just for his well-being and has nothing to do with our country, I have a problem with that. And if you're okay with that, fine. But I'd like to know what your basis is. So Jeff Sessions gets fired. They leapfrog over Rosenstein and they bring in Trump's guy, Matt Whitaker. And he's already said that we need to stop this Mueller investigation. These words came out of Trump's mouth quite often. Well, that person used to be cool, but then they didn't agree with me. Now they're not cool. He's crazy, okay? It's to a point now where we have to say he's crazy, period. He's off the rail, okay? There's 900 protests going on in our country. That's like D-Day, okay? In 6 hours, we'll have 900 protests against the president. Listen, Obama was half and half, but there wasn't half our country protesting. This is not okay. It's not.
You can find Ian Beckles' Flavor in Your Ear on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.